they're off. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, good to see you again. I haven't seen you in a couple of weeks.
Well, it's good to see you, too.
Is your mic on?
There we go.
There you go.
Welcome. Well, I did it to myself.
Welcome to broadcasting.
It's only justice.
Welcome to broadcasting.
Yeah,
it's good to see you again. A couple of weeks away in Hawaii was so beautiful. All that moisture. Then coming back here, Tom, it's bone dry.
Well, how does it feel being in bone dry compared to the moisture of the Pacific?
I like the Pacific. I like the moisture.
Okay.
Yep. But I'm hoping we'll see some moisture coming here soon, but it doesn't look like it.
Well, we got our fingers crossed.
Yeah, well, let's keep them crossed. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition. It is Wednesday, June the 1st, 2022, our 12th year now on the radio. The Buckmaster Show broadcasts from the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio, the radio station, KVOI 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. The live line where we do our telephone interviews, including the one that is going to be coming up in a few seconds, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management once a month. Usually the first Wednesday of the month, we welcome Steve Kasachek, Tucson City Councilman, to the program. Councilman, how are you?
Doing very well. How are you doing, Bill?
Doing real well, and I want to say a few things about this COVID outbreak right now. My theory is because so many people are home testing right now, I think COVID is at its absolute peak right now in the United States and here in Arizona. It seems like everybody I know, fully vaxxed people, are getting this and they're reporting kind of like a mild cold or sometimes a very bad cold. But that's kind of my theory. It is certainly out in the community, and it's at a high level. What do you think?
Oh, I don't disagree. And one of the challenges that we have is that, you know, you mentioned the severity of the infection is apparently not as significant as it was under Delta a year ago. If we'd been seeing the numbers that we're seeing right now, right, for instance, this past week there were nearly 2,000 new cases just in Pima County. That has escalated from, I think it was about 260 in the last week of April. So it's gone from that, it's gone by a factor of five in the last, factor of 10, sorry, in the last 5 weeks. So it is escalating, and people right now, I guess, are just, this is sort of the who cares surge. I care, and we still follow the mask rules here in the ward office. If you've had, you know, coughs or sneezes or anything like that, then stay away. You know, stay home and reschedule your appointment. But we're seeing graduations. We're seeing people just kind of treat the situation as though it's no big deal. And, you know, the fact is that hospitalization rates are still going, numbers are still going up. Intensive care unit numbers are still going up. Fatalities are still going up. So it's not just a bad cold. And, after 2+ years, people, I guess, have decided this is just the way, you know, these are the dice we're going to roll. And I think that's unfortunate because my heart still goes out to the healthcare workers who are bringing this home with them, and both in terms of the potential for the virus, but also just the psychological impact on our healthcare workers who are having to put up with this all the time. The reality is that if you're vaccinated, the impact of the severity of the illness is significantly mitigated. It's lessened. The real serious illnesses that the healthcare folks are seeing are among the unvaccinated population.
Yeah, and let me add something, Steve. I hear this especially in my particular age group. Folks have a big event coming up. It's a wedding or whatever, a graduation. Oh, I'll put off getting my double, you know, the fourth shot. I'll put it off till it's closer to the event. My advice, do the booster now. Don't try to, you know, time this like you're timing the Wall Street or something, like market timing. You need to get boosted now. That's my advice.
Well, to follow up on your analogy, market timing doesn't work either, generally.
No.
If you're trying to chase the bottom. Why would you do that? I mean, it's not as though once you get the vaccination, it's only good for 36 hours.
Yeah.
You know, get the vaccination, get yourself protected, and get other people protected as well. And that's the pitch, is that even if you don't care about yourself, care about others. And there are vulnerable populations out in the community all over the place. You know, seniors, people with comorbidities, people with people who are immune compromised. Those are the people that you need to be concerned about, even if the person with getting the vaccine or not doesn't particularly care about their own situation. So I completely agree with you. And the fact that we're back up to 2,000 new cases just in the past week in Pima County is troubling. And this is back to where we were. We had 13,000 in the state of Arizona last week.
Yep.
13,000. You know, if we had Governor Ducey shut the state down with these kinds of numbers a year and a half ago.
Yes, he did.
And now it's as though we don't care.
And let me say again, those are the numbers that are reported to the
correct
health department. Every household has the COVID tests and are doing tests. So I'm just going to throw something out here, Steve. Okay, I say it's, you take that number of here in Pima County last week of nearly 300 cases a day, I would say double it or triple it realistically.
So the federal government is again offering self-tests, home tests. You can get 8 per household, and you're correct. People are getting those. They're testing themselves at home. My wife was concerned a couple of weeks ago that she had been around somebody, and so we did the self-test. It came up negative, but we are really encouraging people that if you test at home and if you test positive, let the Pima County Health Department people know, so that we have an accurate reflection of the spread of this virus in this community. I don't disagree with anything that you just said. You know, this is undercount. These numbers are undercounts. We know they're undercounts. What year and a half ago or so, when the numbers were this high or higher, Pima County Health Department was doing all the testing. So they knew, so we knew this. You didn't have the in-home tests available. So yeah, I think you're spot on in your concerns and in your speculation that these are undercount numbers.
All right.
And they're still high.
They are. They are still high. Let's talk about the proposition for 11. I was fortunate enough to be celebrating my 50th wedding anniversary over in Hawaii on the day of the election, and it did pass. And so this is good news, isn't it, Steve?
Oh, yeah, it's really good news. And it's really a vote of confidence from the community. We had Prop 480 a few years ago, 9 years ago now, and then Prop 101 that were earmarking for those two roughly $20 million annually to road repair, residential road repair in the community. So we came into Prop 411 with a track record, and also we tweaked the constituent elements of Prop 411 a little bit, and that is we are now allocating roughly $60 million a year for the next 10 years to residential road repair through Prop 411. An additional $15 million a year, round numbers, for road safety elements, and those will include things such as hawk lights and traffic mitigation, like speed humps, chicanes, more lighting. You know, we just recently voted at the city council to embrace the Vision Zero principle, and that is to say our aspirational goal is to have zero pedestrian fatalities in a calendar year. Now, I'll be the first one to tell you that I used the word aspirational intentionally, that it is unlikely that any community of our size is going to get to that number, zero, in a calendar year, because there's always going to be the, you know, person, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning, been to the bar, walking out in front of a car after having had a few. But we certainly now have the tools in place with Prop 411 to put some road safety elements in place that are really going to help us drive those fatality numbers down, pedestrian fatality numbers down. So I'm really grateful to the community. It passed overwhelmingly. It was like 70-30. But I will say as a caveat that it is troubling, and this is sort of a sidebar comment, it is troubling that 25% of the population in this community felt that that was an important enough issue to come to. What do you have to do? You have to check a box and lick an envelope to vote by mail. Mm. So while it is great that the community supported it, 70-30, I'm just, you know, not happy that only 25% of the people saw this. $750 million 10-year investment in our community worth licking a stamp over.
Wow, that's a good way to put it. That they had not the interest even to vote in this thing was so much at stake for our future of our roads. Steve, stick around. I want to talk about my favorite bakery in town, and you know that bakery.
Yeah, Mona's.
It's Mona's. I know you love Mona's. Your family uses Mona's for special occasions, and you've always had good success, haven't you?
Absolutely. Love the turnovers. It's a great place to go, and I'm glad that they're a regular sponsor and a long-term sponsor for you.
Yeah, they have been.
They've been
very
wonderful. Very
loyal. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Open right now for lunch, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Their website will tempt you when you take a look at all the beautiful pictures of everything, pretty much everything on the menu. The website's monasdanishbakery.com. And we love the variety of the pastries as well. Let's see, what would I always, every day I like to say here on the air, what I would be in the mood for. And I have to go back to go for a bear claw right now. Would be really, really nice. Some days I'm in the mood for even a piece of carrot cake. They do a really nice carrot cake up there. Anyway, we'll have more with Steve Kay right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority Board promised to fund projects from its 20-year regional transportation plan to the ballot amount. A recent state audit confirms the RTA is meeting its obligations. The RTA is now working with member jurisdictions to identify non-RTA funds to cover recent spikes in construction costs. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com to learn more about funding obligations.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Kicking off the month of June, it's our midweek edition. Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek with us on the live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We are blessed to have a wonderful park, Steve Kasachek, called Reed Park here in Tucson, Arizona. And I know there's some kind of a project called Let's Reimagine the Park. What's going to come of all of that, Steve?
Yeah, this has been a pretty significant public outreach that was nurtured by our Parks Department. And last night at midnight was the last day to submit surveys. Look, we've got golf and tennis and baseball. We've got the duck ponds. We've got ramadas. Lots of different uses over there. And what reimagining is our first step at doing a public outreach, saying what would you, the public, like to see Reed Park look like 20 years from now. And so the survey was just completed. We expect to have, it's going to wind up being what's called a Reed Park Master Plan. And I would say by the end of this calendar year, we should have a draft proposal in front of the council. The staff is going to synthesize the input that they've gotten. Right now they've gotten between 2,000 and 3,000 responses from the public. There'll be some more public outreach. But again, this is, and my guess is that people are not saying, let's do a complete remake of Reed Park, because, millions of people visit Reed Park. We've got the zoo. That's a very, very popular amenity. We've got, as I say, we've got the golf courses. The Randolph North and South are the only two of the five that the city owns that are making any money. So let's not go and blade under the things that are making a significant positive impact on the community. But people, I expect, will say, look, the restrooms need upgrading. You probably need to upgrade the sound system in the Demeester Center, perhaps some more shade structures scattered throughout the park, those kinds of things. But we'll have the master plan in front of us probably mid to late fall. And, I'm grateful for the people who both have led this effort by the Parks Department, but also from the public who, again, between 2,000 and 3,000 who've offered their input.
Pretty good team that Mike Ortega has put together, the cabinet members, a lot of them new people from all over the country, like the Parks Director has been on board over a year now, came from Miami. Looking forward to our first visit with her in June, but I think Mike's got a great team.
I do too. We've got, you mentioned Laura Hamway. She you're going to love her when you get her on your show. She's out in the community. She's engaged. You talk to her and you can tell she loves her job and she loves what she does. We've got a brand new transportation director, brand new in this role, but Sam Cradio has been with the city for 15 years or something like that, and he's worked his way up through transportation. He knows the history of the projects around town, and he knows the challenges that we have. Sam is brand new in his role, and he's probably mid-30s, so he's really, really excited. He's got a lot of energy. So, we love what we're seeing out of Sam. Our Planning and Development Services Director, Scott Clark, has got a great team under him. One of the challenges that we have, though, with any of these departments is their staffing level.
Mm-hmm.
When I started this back in 2009, we had roughly 6,000-ish city employees. We're down to about 4,200 to 4,500 now.
Really?
Yeah. So I know Laura needs more people in the Parks Department. Scott Clark definitely needs more people in the Planning Department. Our IT folks are challenged as well. And the police, of course, are challenged from a standpoint of staffing. Those last two departments are the police and IT, information technology. Those are tough positions to fill. From a police standpoint, every agency in the country is having trouble recruiting cops, and it's just a tough job. You know, that's one of the reasons. We did a market increase for police last year, and then give a compression increase as well. So we're competitive from a market standpoint. It's just a difficult position to fill. IT is a different animal, and the reality is that if you work in information technology in the public sector, working for the city or the county or the federal government, you can probably double your salary tomorrow by going and working in the private sector.
Yep.
And so that's one of the reasons we're having trouble recruiting to those positions. But no, I agree with you. Mike Ortega has put a great team together, and I think that he's surrounded by some really quality people, both from the standpoint of their skill sets and just the kinds of people that they are. So I'm really pleased with what Mike has done in his role.
And then to have Tim Tomier as kind of the number two person, wow. I think Tim's a world-class guy.
Tim is, and he brings a really strong water-focused skill set because he was our water director. And that is an absolutely essential issue for us right now, to have somebody who understands the challenges of the CAP, the challenges of the drought that we're in, the challenges with the PFAS contamination. Tim brings all that skill set to the table, and so he's a smart guy, and he again is very engaged. And you know, this is an opportunity for him so to kind of get out of the sort of focus of water and more broadly learn the operations of the city. And he's enjoying it. I talk to Tim a lot, and he's enjoying the fact that he's out touching the community in so many different ways. And I think you're exactly right. Tim's a gem, and Mike did a great job in promoting him into that position. He also did a great job in promoting Tim's replacement as our water director, John Kimmick. And he's again, from a standpoint of just knowledge of the technical parts of the water industry, he's a great guy to have in the saddle. We have some real challenges coming with respect to water and the drought and the CAP and our participation in that. And so having Tim and John in the saddle right now in that area is really, really important for this region. People should respect the fact that those two guys bring an extremely well-respected and highly regarded skill set to the table, and they're not just highly regarded locally, they're highly regarded nationally in the whole water industry. And it's no surprise to anybody, you were talking about it when you first came on, you know, mm-hmm. how dry it is here.
Oh yeah.
You know, it ain't getting any better anytime soon.
No,
so we really need those guys in the positions that they're in.
All right, we haven't talked in a month. The last time you were on the show, we were talking about we've got to do something about the revenue stream, which has really decreased on our public transportation system. Has anything moved forward since I last talked to you?
Well, sadly, no. We are going to make in the city budget that's in front of us right now, approximately a $62 million general fund investment into transit, and there is nobody on the council, with myself the exception, who is willing to openly talk about reinstituting some sort of a fare policy. Every time I've raised the issue, the preamble has been, there are people who need the free rides. We will take care of them. But there are also people who are in a position to, from an income standpoint, to help support the system. And they ought to be asked to pay some sort of a nominal fare. This was not confiscatory back when people were paying $1.50 to ride the bus, but with the price of fuel going up, with the cost of labor going up, with the whole operational cost going up, I think it is ridiculous that the city council and the mayor are saying, no, we have to keep this free fare policy. We are driving the discretionary riders away, people who have the option to say, no, I'll just get in my car, because quite frankly, what we're seeing is a lot of people with either drug addictions or serious mental illnesses getting on the bus and using it as a cool way, cool in terms of temperature, to spend the afternoon, and they ride the entire route. And it's a challenge to people who have the option of getting in their car and turning on their own air conditioning and driving to work. So I'm disappointed that the council has taken this very, very dig-the-heels-in position on this. But we have more budget meetings coming, one coming next week, and I will raise the issue again and see if we can get some movement on it.
All right, Steve Kasachek, how is your running this time of year? Are you still getting out there real early?
It's really nice at 5:30 or 6 in the morning. But when I start at 8:30 or 9 in the morning, when I end, it's not so nice. So yeah, early is the key. It's a daily routine, and once the day starts, once the run's done, the rest of the day is spoken for. So yeah, it's part of you know, if the sun comes up, got to be running.
All right, Steve Kasachek, good checking in with you. Stay safe out there.
Absolutely, it's good to have you back.
Thank you very much. All right, we're going to pause right here. Coming up next, TUSD Superintendent Dr. Gabriel Trujillo will be with me in studio. It's Buckmaster Midweek Edition here in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our live line today made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's take a break. Let's hear from CBS with an update, and then the Buckmaster sponsors, then Dr. Trujillo.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. First day of June, a great time of year to get ready for the rains. I hope the rains come early. They can come usually around the third week of June, if we're lucky. Tom Fairbanks has his fingers crossed. And yeah, but they could also delay till a couple of weeks into July. I hope that's not the case. But where I'm going with this is that It would be the perfect time right now to think about green things, getting some things for the garden that will then flourish when the rains come. And the people at Green Things can certainly point you in the right direction for, as they say, drought-tolerant vegetation and green things. The 13-acre site is located at 3384 East River Road, the website greenthingsaz.com. All right, let's welcome back to the studio Dr. Gabriel Trujillo. Dr. Trujillo, the superintendent of the largest school district in Southern Arizona, Tucson Unified School District. Dr. Trujillo, how are you, sir?
Doing very, very well, Bill. Thank you. Hope you had a great Memorial Day.
Oh, we had a nice Memorial Day, and we had a great break over in Hawaii celebrating our 50th wedding anniversary. So,
congratulations.
Thank you very much. This news out of Texas, the shooting, it gets to the point where your heart breaks for these parents and what they're going through. And I'm sure you, as an educator, when this type of event happens, it not only hits you personally because you're thinking about all of your teachers, your students, but you're thinking about the future and looking at security.
Oh, absolutely. I think basically every single waking moment of the superintendency, you have one goal, is to end that day with all 40,000 of our children and young people going home to their parents okay. There's literally nothing else more important. And that's why events like Sandy Hook and Uvalde and Marjory Stoneman Douglas, they are horrifying. And unfortunately, it's happening all too often.
Mm. And has there been a review of your security situation? And I know there was an incident that was widely publicized at Tucson High. It's been termed, a major brawl. There were a lot of people. I don't know, a lot of people involved. What was the situation?
Yeah, and actually 7 or 8 days before the tragic events in Texas,
yeah,
we had our own really red flag incident at Tucson High. And it was a first for us. It was the first time, certainly wasn't the first fight at Tucson High, but it was the first time that we were caught off guard by a parent. Any parents listening to this know that you're always welcome on our campuses, and we've always afforded parents a higher level of trust, confidence, and permission, quite frankly, to roam about our campuses, really. More than we do with guests or people that are coming up to our campuses from the community. And this was the first time that we saw a parent actually exploit that access, that opportunity, that privilege, that trust that we give them to come onto the campus and actually participate in the fighting and actually engage in the fighting with minor students. And that one, to the public that's listening, that is on us. Yes, I have publicly stated that I do hold this gentleman responsible. I still, to this day, there is no reason for a 40-year-old man to be coming up onto the campus whose his purpose there as a parent is to pick up his son to help us de-escalate an incident.
Right.
There is no reason for this 40-year-old man to be throwing punches with a 14 or 15-year-old kid.
Wow.
Now, with that being said, it is my responsibility, and it's the Tucson High administration's responsibility at this point, to take a serious look at our protocol. We have a responsibility for maintaining the safety, the health, the security of everybody on that campus, and we didn't that day because we had protocols that assumed that parent mobility, parent freedom to move about on our campuses was going to be respected, was going to be honored, that parents are just going to go point to point because we asked them to. This is a game changer for us in terms of now having to look at this summer, sitting down with our principals and our leadership team and saying, okay, so what's that balance between not creating a prison-like environment, which is what we don't want. We want to welcome our parents in. But what we've learned from this incident, Bill, is we just can't have parents free roaming anymore.
I mean... Parents are obviously are welcome to set up appointments or whatever, but just showing up like that is a very bad precedent.
It is, and I think to me, what's more disturbing is this particular parent was actually called and invited by the administration to come and pick up his son to de-escalate a situation, which 99.9% of the time, parents are like, hey, Dr. Chiu, thank you. I'll talk to my son.
Yeah.
Thank you. I don't want him getting in a fight. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to pick him up. And it again, we were just caught off guard that that wasn't the reaction. So we have a responsibility to relook at these protocols. Now, in terms of Uvalde, that one is a really sobering reminder of how important it is for us to be auditing every single one of our campuses from a security infrastructure perspective, taking a look at our doors, our fencing, our cameras, our surveillance, our front office security, our classroom security, to crisis preparedness, training our staff in terms of lockdowns, active shooter protocol, and working collaboratively with TPD on the response time. I think to me, what's been nightmarish is hearing about this 45-minute delay where you had 19 law enforcement officers in a
hallway.
Yeah,
just standing there, right, waiting.
That's just heartbreaking, and it's just hard not to come to tears thinking about how many children's lives would have been saved if the direct engagement approach, which is what my understanding law enforcement has been trained on since Columbine, is you directly engage the shooter immediately, eliminate the threat. It's just baffling.
It really is. Certainly, there's some kind of a communication breakdown that happened, and it is heartbreaking. So here we are, concluded now a school year. I look at this as school year three that was affected by the pandemic, because the first year, the pandemic came down kind of in the springs, around spring break. But now we've completed three pandemic-related years. What's been the overall damage academically? Let's begin there.
This is a bittersweet question, because we just, about 3 days ago, Friday, before the Memorial Day weekend, the Arizona Department of Education, they released the results for all Arizona school districts and schools for the new Arizona Academic Skills Assessment, which is the replacement exam for AZ Merit. And it's bittersweet because it was a great bounce back year for TUSD. We showed gains in every tested grade level, I think except one, 5 out of 6. We had double digit gains in English language arts and math for our third and fourth graders. However, we didn't reach pre-pandemic levels of proficiency. And that speaks to the damage that the interrupted learning has presented to the students of the district with this sort of 18-month odyssey into remote learning. And it actually, with this bounce back that the public is going to see very soon in terms of TUSD increases over how our students performed last year, which was lockdown year, it just reinforces what we kind of all knew. The best remedy for learning loss is, guess what? Actually just being back live in the classroom. And so, yes, we had a lot of great interventions. We did a great summer program last year. We had a lot of great reading and math interventions this year, but the kind of gains that we showed in both math and English language arts, I have to say, is attributed to just everybody being back with their teachers and our teachers doing their thing live every single day.
Summer school will be important, though, for many students this year.
I think summer school is going to be most crucial to build off some of the momentum that we've just seen with these scores coming back. And one of the nice things about summer school is we just crossed the 9,000 student enrollment threshold, which is great. That shows a sense of urgency, interest in our summer school program, and we're pretty much staffed at 100%. We
really
haven't seen that in a few years. Usually what we've seen over the last few years is teachers burnt out, teachers just needing more of the time. But I think before we get excited about this, I think we have to also be realistic that inflation is at a 40-year high.
Mm-hmm.
And our teachers, like everybody else, are feeling it. And it may be a little bit more about just needing the extra income versus a new light shining, right? A new sense of happiness and wanting to work a little bit longer for us. So I think we're going to do some surveys to kind of see what's led to the increase in staffing. But we're not complaining, because usually at this time, we're kind of scrambling to fill summer school teaching positions.
Is there a charge to the parents for this summer school program, or is that free of charge?
Summer school's free of charge. Mm-hmm. Even the meals are provided for all of our students.
And it is beginning tomorrow?
Yeah, summer school's already kicked off. Mm-hmm. And so I believe the first day was actually today.
Okay.
And then we're running all the way through the month of June.
All right, we'll have more with Dr. Trujillo. It's the Buckmaster Show. First day of June, although the Weather Service says the official day for June will be, June 20, 22nd, 23rd, somewhere like that. But, what time, Tom? Is it the 23rd?
I think you're referring to the first day of summer, aren't you?
What did I say?
It's the first day of June, but that's,
that's the first day of summer officially on the calendar is coming up in a few weeks, but it always feels like summer. It can feel like summer here in Tucson pretty much any time of the year, right? I mean, it's certainly by March we can have some days that feel like summer is already here.
I think a lot of people feel that Memorial Day weekend
kind of the
is the beginning
start
of summer.
Summer. Anyway, we'll pause right here. More with Dr. Trujillo after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Speaking of summer, Silver City is a great getaway this time of year. Well, it's always about pretty much 10 degrees. You can almost count on it, 10 degrees cooler over in Silver City than it would be in Tucson. Like right now, it's in the mid-80s. It's in the mid-90s here in Tucson. That's pretty much a gauge as we go through the summer. And the reason is Silver City is at that beautiful mile-high elevation of 5,000 to 7,000 feet. So it's a great summer getaway. Start your planning by visiting Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org for information on what to do, and there are plenty of things to do and where to stay. Only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. We continue now with our conversation in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio with Dr. Gabriel Trujillo. As we have now wrapped up school year, it's the third school year that has been impacted by the pandemic. It's time to look at the budget package, the financial package for the new fiscal year, which begins July 1st. And how does that package look, Dr. Trujillo?
You know, it looks really, really good. But I want to caution everybody to really kind of take that with a grain of caution, simply because our financial situation has been significantly bolstered by temporary monies. Of course, we've received
a huge influx of federal money.
Yes, yeah. Over the three different distributions of CARES Act funds that we've received, you know, we're up over $270 million over the last 3.5 years. It's been very carefully rationed out. A lot of it already spent on the essentials, right? PPE and one-to-one equipment and Chromebooks and iPads. But our governing board did swing for the fences with regard to employee retention. And they did invest over $65 million in retention stipends for every single employee in the Tucson Unified School District, recognizing that times are tough, that inflation has hit everybody hard, especially our lowest wage earners that we have, our lowest level wage earners. And so every single employee in Tucson Unified is eligible for $2,500 retention payments over the next three semesters, which is a total of $7,000if you just stay with us over the next year and a half. So we're very, very excited. We think that this is a valuable tool in our tool chest to combat the ongoing labor shortage and the battle to recruit and retain our staff.
So that money, some of that money went to the infrastructure at each campus, correct?
Correct.
Air conditioning updates.
We did
air filtering.
Absolutely. Yeah. We did a variety of projects, but the biggest ones we did were HVAC, heating and cooling system, sure, retrofitting, upgraded the air quality of our major units, and then, of course, we distributed thousands of these HEPA air purifying boxes.
That's a healthier school environment.
It is a way healthier school environment. Yes, it is. And we still have a long way to go in terms of more work with our bathrooms and some of our other facilities.
Because they're old buildings.
Very old. Yeah. I mean, you're looking at a place, you look at a place like Safford. I mean, that's 1930. Safford School, one of our historic sites. 1930. Wow. Original building.
All right. So you mentioned earlier in the interview that some of these academic scores really are a ray of hope, aren't they, of what you're seeing as the school year closed out, that this is something to build on for hopefully more back to normal kind of school year in the fall. I mean, this current wave of COVID that seems to be touching just about everybody, because this new variant seems to have found a way to get into everybody's immune system, regardless if you've been vaccinated. So hopefully by the fall, things will be looking a lot better.
That's the hope. It is tremendously hard and tremendously difficult to focus on teaching and learning when you're social distancing and dealing with masks and dealing with making sure everybody has PPE and all of the different needs that the schools have. So I think that this fall is going to represent a true return to school years past, where it's a school year that is going to be free of sort of all of the COVID logistics that we've had to deal with in the last 3 years, and that'll help us move forward on a lot of initiatives that were, quite frankly, halted over the last few years.
You still have issues with transportation, enough bus drivers. Are the fleet itself, did that need to be upgraded? Was it old rolling stock, or is it the buses in good condition still?
Well,
because you need safety as a priority, of course.
Yes. Over the last few years, we've been able to upgrade our fleet largely through this pandemic era funding that we've received. And we've been able to add over 20 new buses to the fleet, which has been great. Absolutely. And We've done a couple of things that I think is leading to some better outcomes. We're starting to see more applicants coming in for these bus driving positions, and we dealt with the salary, we dealt with the hourly wage, gave them a significant bump to be a lot more competitive. And I think that the retention stipends, I think that the word has gotten out, hey, you come and work for TUSD, you're going to get $2,500 every 18 weeks.
Whoa.
Over the next year and a half. So come and do it. So we're doing everything we can to fill these positions because it's about putting those routes back that our parents enjoyed. I don't think parents want to continue having to take their kids several blocks to the nearest hub station. They really enjoy having those routes
yes, they
that are just down the street or around the corner and they could count on.
Could that be coming back in the fall?
That's the goal. We're trying to put as many routes back as we can. Of course, that's just going to depend on the number of drivers that we're able to hire and train up.
How about the enrollment? When you look at other districts like up in the Phoenix area, some districts lost 20 to 30% of their overall enrollment. How did we do here in Tucson when all was said and done?
Well, when all was said and done, we were close to like 2,000. You know, when you, if you take a look at true pandemic losses. And this year, we gained enrollment by like 50, but that's just filling that 2,000 hole. So if you want to look at it that way, of the 2,000 we lost, we brought back like 700, 800. So basically, our losses are still stuck at over 1,000. That's why we didn't make really big news about this year's enrollment increase because, yes, it's always good to finish the year up students, but truly, you're basically having students that left you just come back because school's open again. So I think that the true measure of where we're going to stand is actually going to be this fall. It's going to be this fall.
Only about a minute left. The legislature had been looking at some measures that many educators feel were very, very much a detriment to, quite honestly, the future of public education. Whatever happened to some of those measures?
Well, thankfully, through the advocacy of a lot of pro public education groups out there, Stand for Children, Save Our Schools, our organizations, Arizona School Board Association, Arizona Administrator Association, they've been able to be, they were halted in committee. You saw a school takeover bill that wanted to basically treat schools like failing businesses and have hostile takeovers, and the governor would create his own personal committee. You saw a proposal for transportation that would have wiped out $12 million of TUSD's transportation budget. So thankfully, these attack bills were halted for the moment, but they could resurface in budget talks.
All right. Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, thank you very much. Good luck now with summer school. We'll bring you back midway through the summer, see how we're doing as we then prepare to welcome students back. Before you know it, it will be August, and students will be back in the classroom for the fall semester, and hopefully it will be better times as we move through the fourth, maybe fifth wave. Who knows what wave it is of COVID that we're currently experiencing. Thank you very much, Dr. Trujillo.
It's always a pleasure, Bill.
Thank you. All right, that's what we'll do it for the Buckmaster Show Midweek Edition. Hope everybody has a great afternoon. Dave Ramsey is next. His very popular show on your money, how to make that, how to keep your money. Have a great afternoon, everybody.